On air. Online. On Twitter.
Jennifer Campbell is always on.
Unfiltered, opinionated, and ready to speak her mind at a moment's notice.
This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV, Cable 20.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. Ha! You try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth. And I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick out the soul. Pour another glass of that rock and roll. Turn up the band, find the hole. Gonna lose control tonight. What do you want?
Good morning, and welcome to your Wednesday, July the 18th. Summer's flying by. Hey, Polly, we need more sunshine in this studio. I know, I'd like to open the blinds, but I...
Well, open the blinds then. Isn't there a little string there?
Don't they say everybody looks... It's fun. Now, I don't mean looks better, like, you know, kind of being like, make me look better. Tough task. Just make, like, isn't natural light really good? Not for television. The television people at Rogers TV right now are like, do not open the blinds.
Yeah, I don't think television is good at natural light. I don't think so. I mean, I know a bit about television, but I don't know that part. But I would imagine they don't like natural light.
What do you know about TV, Polly? Do you have a secret television pass?
No. I volunteered for Rogers Television a number of years ago, probably for 3 or 4 years at least. So I know a little bit about it.
It's got some background there. Can I tell you, though, this is what's driving me crazy about my family. That could probably be plural, but we'll just stick to one this morning. And I don't know what it is, Polly. Remember when you and I were talking about how somebody parks in front of my house, but that person's not coming to my house? It irritates me.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's too. I don't know why. It's like I don't own that road, but it bugs me. Yeah.
I have no good reason. I don't know what that is. It's a weird sense of ego. I'm sure it is. I'm sure a psychologist could pinpoint exactly what that is, and it's not going to be complimentary. But here's what's driving me crazy right now. The kids and my beloved fiance, they'll have it's daylight. It's a gorgeous day like today, and they have the curtains closed and the lights on in the bedrooms. It drives me bonkers. I don't understand it.
No. If the sun is up, the curtains are open. Bottom line.
Thank you, Polly. Why can't they? Why? And now since I've verbalized it, now, of course, I am taking it personally whenever I walk by and they can. I just don't understand. Just let the light in, for the love of God, people. Let the light in. Also, heard you guys talking yesterday afternoon with Mike Farwell about the whole cleaning situation. Should James's friend get a cleaning person, or should they not?
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to call in, but I wasn't driving my car, so I couldn't Bluetooth, so I didn't want to get arrested, so I did not. But I dare say James's, and he's not actually, is he there to defend himself? Yeah, he is.
He's right here.
I mean, there's nothing more annoying to an expectant parent. James is going to be a first-time dad. There's nothing more annoying than people who are already parents telling you something, you know, because I don't know what that's like, the car parking in front of the house. It's just irritating. But James, I'm going to give you a little tip. I'm going to give you a piece of unsolicited advice. And here it is. When the baby comes... When the beloved bundle arrives, please get your wife the cleaner. Because you think you're on mat leave, you think you have all the time in the world, you think that you're going to do the things, and then at the end of the day, you're going to come home, James, and there's going to be breast milk squirted all across the house, and the garbage's not going to be emptied, and the dishes are going to be everywhere, and it's going to be an absolute zoo. And she's going to feel all this pressure, like she should have, you know, been getting things done, and you can say, do you know what? Don't even worry about it. We're going to get a best gift I ever got when I was pregnant because I couldn't bend over to get to into the tub to scrub it. So it was actually a size issue. But my ex-husband got me a cleaning service when I was pregnant. And let me tell you, it extended our marriage.
I'm her cleaning service, though.
Oh, okay, that's not bad, you know, either. That's not bad either.
I can do it.
You can do it. Okay,
yeah, I'm capable.
Of course you are. Yeah. Of course you are. You're totally capable. But I will say, at this point in my life, I've talked about my amazing house cleaner. She's now a friend. She's been with me for I think almost 10 years. Melissa from Modern Main. She's full. I believe she's full because everybody asked me about her. But I love her. I love her and treasure her like I love my children. I need her. I admire her. She's a wonderful gift. Anyway, so what happened? I need to know what happened. Are your friends who were in a dispute about whether or not they should get the cleaning person, have they made a decision?
Not yet.
Okay.
No. I'll be after them, though.
Okay.
Because I'll tell them the consensus of Waterloo Region.
And what was it?
I think...
I heard a bit of the calls.
I think we came down to a lot of people saying that do it yourself.
Yeah.
But there was a few people that said, you know, maybe you should just go for it.
Yeah.
Just do the cleaning service.
And I'll tell you this. Melissa, I'm a pretty tidy person. I like to clean. I clean my kitchen 18 times a day because everybody's eating all the time. But the cleaning service does things you don't. Tops of fans, baseboards, wall. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Where I'm just trying to keep the toilet clean at this point. That's what they do. I'm just trying to keep the E. coli out of everybody's dinner. And if I get that done right, we're good. Anyway, so maybe it's a little baby present we can get you guys.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
One time clean. And then you can go around and see if you like how they did it.
Not a bad idea. I think my wife might have something to say about that.
You think so?
Yeah.
She wants you to do it?
She wants me to
she
do
wants
it.
She wants me to do it. All right. Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Okay, we're going to talk about those 40 things that everyone should know by age 40. Thank you, James. Just totally threw him into the snake pit there. 40 things every person should know by the age of 40. And we're going to follow up yesterday. Polly, I've never had so many emails in my life. Remember yesterday we were talking about the bus advertisements, the pro-life, I say anti-choice, bus advertisements in the bus terminal in Cambridge. So we talked about that, and we had on Sarah Hawkswell, who is a petition organizer to get them removed. And of course, it turned into a great abortion debate. And then I think it was caller Dave called and then asked me if I'd ever had an abortion. And let me tell you, my inbox blew the heck up. So we'll respond to all of that. And I'll answer some of your questions coming up after 9:45. Might not be the answers you want to hear, but I'm still going to give you some answers. Okay, let's start here this morning with an article from the University of Ottawa. This new study says death rates from heart failure are higher in women. And we are going to find out why this morning. Louise Sun, who's a cardiac anesthesiologist, joins us now this morning to talk about that. Good morning, Louise. Thanks for coming on with us. Hi.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Okay. We did a great heart health initiative with our local hospital, St. Mary's, just last month, I believe, and we were all wearing red, and we had some great conversations about heart health, especially in women, and learned quite a lot. And this came up during those conversations, too, that women are more likely than men to die from heart failure.
Yeah, and, you know, that's an unfortunate fact in the cardiovascular care of men and women. So
when we,
I was saying...
Sorry, no, pardon me. So when we talked about it last month, one of the things that I learned was that, or we kind of talked about a little bit, and actually turned out to be true, was that women not only have different symptoms than men, but they tend to not seek treatment as quickly.
Yeah, so, you know, that's actually one of the hypotheses we came up with to explain why women and men do differently after they're diagnosed with heart failure. So, you know, one of the explanations that we came up with was that women are not as ready to seek health attention after they have those symptoms. And I think perhaps it comes with being a caregiver for the family. And I think it also comes with having what we call atypical symptoms, so that they think they have a breathing problem as opposed to having a heart problem.
Okay, so let's talk about those those symptoms then? Let's talk about them first, how those symptoms present in men and then how they present in women.
Yeah, so I would say if you're typically thinking about a heart condition, you think about an entity called a heart attack. And so we know that in men, they present with what they call typical chest pain. So it's a pressure, a type of pain that people classically describe as having an elephant sitting on their chest. And it might radiate to a certain part of the body, like the arm or the shoulder. Whereas in women, I think anything goes. So they could experience jaw pain, it could be arm pain, or it could be a different kind of pain altogether. So that, you sometimes see patients who had chronically been diagnosed with heartburn that turned out to be a chronic heart disease. So unfortunately, they would have had an opportunity to develop a heart attack and develop a weaker heart muscle that eventually could lead to heart failure.
So even chronic heartburn is something that we should be taking pretty seriously.
Yeah, so, this, I think the purpose of me stating this is not really to cause mass panic over a heartburn, but
right.
I think, given the right age group and given the right health conditions that come along with it, I'd be a little more leery of the cause behind a heartburn.
We're talking to Louise Sun, who's a cardiac anesthesiologist at the University of Ottawa Heart Institute, about death rates from heart failure being higher in women. Okay, so if there's, if you said a multitude of symptoms, so gosh, in that moment where you're feeling, physical pain, and of course that's going to lead to some anxiety and, oh my goodness, what's happening to me? Are there certain things, symptoms that present that absolutely are like, okay, call 911, compared to certain things where you're like, okay, I should go make a doctor's appointment?
Yes. Yeah, so I think that part is a little difficult to generalize. I would say, the more severe symptoms would be severe trouble with breathing. So if you feel like you really, really have trouble catching your breath and you can't walk very far without getting severely out short of breath, if you're feeling faint, then I think those are the symptoms that would make me very concerned and think about seeking more immediate medical attention. Whereas I would say milder forms of disease presentation would prompt me to seek a ambulatory visit, so visit to a clinic.
Should we be more as females and men? How concerned should we be, with genetics compared to lifestyle? Is there kind of a breakdown? I mean, if we come from a family that has a history of heart issues and heart disease, cardiac problems, do we need to be really vigilant? And when do we need to start watching for things like that? Is it at the age where our family members presented or perhaps passed away?
Right. So I think that's a very good question. And I would say the age at which we should be more cognizant of our heart health, it's a little different in men and women. So, we typically say that the onset of the first heart attack in men is in their 50s, whereas the average age of onset of a heart attack in women is in their late 50s or early 60s. And the reason for that is women earlier in life are protected by hormones. And once they go through the menopausal phase, that's when they lose the hormonal protection and become more prone to developing heart disease. So if you talk about genetics versus environment, I think both are very important. So think about age of onset for heart disease in our family members is quite important. And unfortunately, some families develop heart disease earlier in life. So we occasionally have seen patients in their 30s or early 40s developing severe enough disease to need surgical treatment, whereas the majority of patients are much older at the time that they need surgery. In terms of environment, I would say, like they all say, diet and exercise are very important. And watching out for important diseases such as high blood pressure, especially in women, is very important. because women typically have a different type of heart failure, and that that actually unfortunately comes with being overweight and having high blood pressure over a very long period of time.
We've made amazing strides, though, haven't we, in terms of heart care and death rates when it comes to heart failure. I mean, we're very proud, again, of St. Mary's here in Kitchener-Waterloo. How are we doing? Are we taking big strides? Are we still continuing to be on the right track and to make sure that these death rates continue to decline?
Yeah, so I would say we are making good progress, certainly, although the progress could be a little better in women. And part of our research is to raise awareness that women and men actually do differently after they're diagnosed with heart failure. And so I would say that we've made great strides in the treatment of the type of heart failure that's predominant in men. So, the type of heart failure that typically comes with a weaker heart following a heart attack is more frequent in men. We have very good medical and surgical management for it, whereas the type of heart failure that's more predominant in women, we don't have as good of a set of drugs for it. In fact, we don't have any drug that's proven to be the drug for treating it. So there's, certainly a lot of work to be done.
The work continues. Yeah. Louise Sun, cardiac anesthesiologist from the University of Ottawa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Enjoy today. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
There are 40 things on this list that every person should know by age 40. See how you guys are doing. A little pop quiz on a Wednesday coming up after this.
When extreme weather hits, count on the 570 Extreme Weather Center, exclusively on 570 News.
So somebody sent me this article to Jennifer at 570news.com, and the title of it kind of made me laugh a little bit. And it said, miserable in your 40s? Don't panic. It's perfectly normal. And I didn't know much about this thing called the happiness curve. The science says in this article that people tend to hit their midlife slump in their 40s. Do we call that a midlife crisis? But we'll almost always be happier as they age. It kind of seems counterintuitive, but that it makes sense as people's values and circumstances in their life start to change. So the happiness curve is U-shaped. So it turns out that the aging process drags your happiness down through your 40s, bottoms out around 50, and then aging will actually increase your happiness for the rest of your life. Why? The science is still unclear. It's a pretty new discovery, but it happens in chimps and orangutans too. I mean, they don't know that they're getting wrinkles. They don't know that they're still 20 years away from a pension, do they? We kind of are, wired for social competition, and we're ambitious. But ambition is a trickster. It's disappointing because it never lets you feel satisfied. And by midlife, we might feel disappointed. We've accomplished so much, but there's no sense of fulfillment. And as we age, our values will change. We'll get older. We'll get more interested in social connections instead of competing. Oh, what do I always say, you guys? Competition, the thief of joy. And that evolution is useful because it keeps us connected with our children, with our grandchildren, with our community, and with our tribe. Emotionally, all individuals are going to vary, obviously. But the peak of your happiness isn't till the seventh decade. So into your 60s and often later. So, you kind of feel depressed because you're 50. You think the best part of life is behind you, and you are exactly wrong because the best part is yet to come. That is what to expect emotionally. Older folks have better emotional regulation. They experience less stress and regret in any situation, and they have a lot of social wisdom that helps them. More positive about life, their brains change and make that true, believe it or not. So emotionally, good things are coming if you're dissatisfied right now. with real life. And then it kind of another article popped up when I was reading it, because the computer Big Brother knew I must be 40, because I was reading this article and it talked like the 40 things that you have to the 40 things you should know by the time you're 40. Number one on the list, weekend benders, always a bad idea. Nope, you can't do that. That's number one. I liked some of the things on the list. I didn't love, oh, this one really spoke to me. Fatty foods, immediate bloating effect. You can't eat that anymore. Paul, you're closing in on four. Is there something you can't eat anymore? I mean, I used to have iron guts and now I'm 41 and I get heartburn from orange juice. Like, I can't drink it. I cannot drink it anymore. Makes me a little bit upset.
Yeah, I think I'm okay, at least in that department.
Nothing
for now.
Drives you hurts your belly and you're thinking, oh gosh, it's something, you know, right away it's something you ate. That's a sign to me.
Not on a regular basis, no.
Also on the list, things you should have learned by the age of 40. 80% of the stuff you learned in college is not and never will be an important part of your life. Polly, the stuff we learned in college is our life. It is our
life.
Yeah,
how am I supposed to know how to push the buttons if I didn't go to college?
I got an email here before we go to the newsroom from Suzanne. Suzanne says, life begins after 50. Mortgage is paid. Kids are gone. 50s are the best. And now I'll see what the 60s bring. So there you go, Suzanne. You're on your way to your emotional peak. It is 9:28. Pay as you go. Auto insurance? Say what? Kind of like this idea. We'll talk about that next and then into those listener letters. A lot of questions, a lot of opinions about a conversation we had yesterday. So we're going to dive right back into it. I know a lot of you wanted to talk about that conversation about the pro-life or anti-choice bus advertisements with the GRT. And we didn't get everybody on, so we will open those phone lines back up again. It's 9:28. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show, 570 News.
Alexa, what station has the best breaking news, weather, and traffic?
570 News, obviously.
Hello. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us this morning on Rogers Television. Hi. Good morning to you guys watching us on a sunny Wednesday. Just wanted to give a little shout out to, oh, here, look at, I took a screenshot. Polly, help us, a screenshot. I took a screenshot from our friends at Hurley's last night. Oh gosh, I love Hurley's Farmers Market so much. Probably once a week we're out there. And here it is. Farmer T is just a divine human being, and I like him so much. He tweeted last night a picture of, I don't think I've ever seen so many beans in my life. Should have sent this to our friends at television. I'm sorry about that, because the picture is impressive. If you go to at Hurley's Market, you'll see the picture of the beans, which I learned are picked by hand. Did you know the beans are picked by hand? I learned that from a different farmer, not Farmer T. So if Farmer T is doing it differently, I apologize. Just bushels and bushels, 150 bushels of fresh green and yellow beans that they sent to the Food Bank of Waterloo Region for them to share with all agencies and families in need. That's a kind of a bonus of a heat wave that they got a whole bunch of extra beautiful produce and plantings have come together. And the Food Bank of Waterloo Region said, you know, thanks so much for your continued support. And I just thought that was amazing. And is there anything better? Well, maybe corn. Like fresh green string beans or yellow beans and green beans, just from the garden, like right out of the garden with the dirt still on them? You're not a fan, Polly?
I'm not a fan of peas and beans, but I did have corn on the cob from Hurley's last night.
Amazing.
Amazing.
It's so good. I mean, you put butter and salt on anything, I'm probably going to eat it. But the fresh beans reminds me of being a little girl in Prince Edward Island, and I would sit in between the furrows in my grandfather's garden, and I would hide. The bean plants were taller than I was. I would sit and eat the beans and the cucumbers. And I think he thought he had a rabbit problem because he had 13 grandkids. Or is it 13? Anyway, and we'd all sit out there and kind of raid his garden. And I mean, it was a great time. That's what we did. Helped him harvest, and one for us and one for the basket. But congratulations to everybody at Hurley's. I mean, they're just so good to our community, and we certainly do love them. Yeah, Polly, I'll even heat up. We had Hurley's corn on the weekend, and there was some left, and I heated it back up. I put it back in a pot of boiling water, like leftover corn. It was still amazing. Still so good. Pay as you go auto insurance. Is this something you'd be interested in? This is a new product aimed at motorists who drive less than 9,000 kilometers a year. And we're going to talk to the president of CAA Insurance, Matthew Turek. He joins us now to talk about this new initiative. Good morning, Matthew. Thank you for taking time.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
Okay, this sounds kind of interesting, this pay-as-you-go auto insurance. It's available now?
Yeah, it's launched last week in all throughout Ontario, and we're extremely proud to be the first in Canada insurance company to offer a pay-as-you-go auto insurance program.
Okay, so how does this work? How does this work, pay-as-you-go? I am kind of envisioning the pay-as-you-go the way we know it works for cell phones. You kind of go and buy, you know, a certain amount of time, and when it's up, and you have to go buy some more. Is it kind of like that?
Well, no. The way it works with CA Insurance and the CA MyPay program is essentially you come to CA Insurance either through your broker or directly through a CA agent in the CA stores, and we give you an individualized rate. Once we give you an individualized rate, that rate is really broken down into increments of 1,000 kilometers. And really, you prepay for 1,000 kilometers, and as you use them, we give you notifications as they're running out, and then we automatically reload the next 1,000 kilometers as you exhaust that 1,000. And it continues so to about 9,000. At 9,000, you're pretty much capped. You've paid your traditional policy, and you don't pay anymore.
Okay, so who's the target audience or demographic on this? Are we talking about seniors? Who else would kind of qualify for something like this?
Well, definitely if you're, you know, there's very different demographics. We call this a lifestyle product. It really speaks to any individual who drives less than 9,000 kilometers. So it can be a senior. It can be an adult with two cars who uses one car on the weekend for more of the joy rides and just pleasure use. It can be someone who goes to school and just doesn't drive very much and uses public transit.
So, and people who live in cities too, who often are using, like somebody who doesn't drive much. This would be something that somebody, you know, living in Toronto or Kitchener, downtown Kitchener or uptown Waterloo might want to look into.
Yeah, it's absolutely for various different lifestyles. And whether, you know, the real criteria is if you're driving less than 9,000 kilometers or putting less than 9,000 kilometers in your car, you're going to save money.
Okay, but now listen, if you're going to take part in this program, you have to have that telematics device installed in the car. A lot of people are nervous about that. A lot of people, I probably don't have to tell you, Matthew, but sometimes people have a bad view of the insurance company and they're worried that it's going to be used against them.
Yeah, we understand that. And what we can promise is this is the consumer's data. It does require a telematics device to be plugged into your car. It's a very easy installation, just like putting a USB key into a computer. So very, very, very simple. But all we use for this program is the kilometers you drive. We don't use any other factors that the device provides. We do provide some information back to the consumers about vehicle health. So alerts to tell them if their battery is being drained or something around proactive health and safety. But for this program, all we're using is the kilometers, simply to know when to reload your next 1,000 kilometers on the program.
So you're not going to say, oh, Jennifer Campbell, we saw that you were going 80 and a 50 on July 11th, and now your rates are going to go up.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
That is not part of the program.
Not that I would ever do anything like that.
No, not that we're saying you do. But in this program is simply just using the kilometers to know when to reload your program.
Matthew Turek is the president of CAA Insurance. We're talking about this first of its kind pay-as-you-go auto insurance system in Canada. Is Ontario the first place where we're available to get to this system?
It absolutely is, and we look at this as our way of modernizing auto insurance in Ontario and really bringing choice and control back to the consumers.
Okay, so what about people who, this isn't available on every kind of vehicle. Are there exemptions?
So any vehicle from 1996 and newer would have a what we call an ODB2 port on the car. It was mandatory based on manufacturer's designs from 1996 or newer. So any vehicle from 1996 or newer will be able to participate in this program.
Thoughts about expanding this into the rest of the country?
Well, so we do underwrite also in the Maritimes and the Atlantic provinces. So we're going to be working this summer with those regulators in each individual province to look at rolling this out. You do need to get regulatory approval when doing so. So we're looking forward to taking the experience in Ontario and really providing this choice and control and modernization to the rest of the country.
Matthew Turek, president of CAA Insurance, thanks for the info, taking the time for us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Bye-bye. Okay, it is 9:41. I do have some pile of fun, but we did have, it was quite an intense, as it always is, it was quite an intense talk, conversation yesterday. So just to give you a recap of yesterday, we had Sarah Hawkswell on, who had noticed at a Grand River Transit stop in Cambridge some anti-choice organizations, posters, kind of, well, in Sarah's words, she said shaming women for having an abortion. I would agree with her on that. Sarah said that GRT is part of the region of Waterloo. Lots of women use social services and the public health resources that the region provides, and that the poster, having these poster up, gave the impression that the region of Waterloo is anti-choice. So we had this conversation with Sarah. We also read you the statement from the GRT. That petition, I believe, is about 8,000 names right now. It's available on Twitter at Jen Campbell 77. Totally pushing the agenda there, aren't I? But it led into lots of amazing phone calls from you guys. I thought we had some pretty good discussions about it. And a flurry of emails as well. Now, one of the callers, I think it was Dave, I think it was our last caller, took issue with me saying, because if you look at the, if you look at the billboard, the billboard says, they said abortion wouldn't hurt. And then they give you the pro Cambridge Right to Life, I believe they're called, the Cambridge Right to Life information on how to get to them. And Dave took issue with that and called and asked me if I had ever had an abortion. And you guys got very involved in this. I hope I can get to them all. I have about 15 emails to get to. This conversation continues. In all fairness, I did ask Andy, our first caller, if he'd ever had an abortion. I did do that. So, I mean, perhaps I started and opened the floodgates here. So let's continue this conversation. So many listener letters on this topic that we discussed yesterday, and we'll get to them all, and I'll tell you what my answer is to that question coming up after this 570 News.
Every pitch. Best you'll ever see. Every hit. Belt it. Every play. It. Every game.
Come on now.
Follow the Toronto Blue Jays through all 162.
An incredible catch.
570 News. Your home for Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
9:46. Thanks for coming back with us. The beauty of radio, if you're lucky, is that you get to come back. You know, when you're in a conversation and somebody says something to you, and then you leave that conversation and you think, oh gosh, why didn't I say this? Why didn't I say that? You know, you have this flood of brilliance as you lay your head down to sleep that night. You know how it is, right? Everybody's been through that. And I guess the beauty of this job, and sometimes the burden of this job, is that there's always another day to answer those questions or to not answer those questions. So again, yesterday, just recapped before the break, yesterday we talked about some anti-choice organizations. They call themselves the Cambridge Right to Life. That they had advertising at Grand River Transit stop in Cambridge. We had Sarah Hawkswell on, who saw that advertising, organized a petition. I believe it's over 8,000 names that have joined that petition now, asking Grand River Transit to remove those advertisements. Now, Sarah's reasoning is that they're part of the region of Waterloo. We have public health resources from the region of Waterloo, and having those posters up gives the impression that the region is anti-choice. We also did have the statement, which I read yesterday from the GRT. I don't think we need to read it again, but it is available. If you want me to send it to you, I most certainly can do that. So we had a great conversation. We didn't get to a lot of your phone calls on it. And of course, inevitably, every time we talk about this, it turns into an abortion debate. So I've kind of avoided it mostly as of late because I kind of feel like we just get caught in this circle and we never really end up anywhere. That being said, if you wanted to talk about this and you didn't get the chance yesterday because we did run out of time, most certainly please call us now. *570-519-570-2545. We had some invigorating conversations and I got some really angry emails. And I got some really amazing supportive emails, and I want to go through some of them now because I know a lot of you heard the segment and then kind of crafted things at your desks or homes later and sent them to me. So I did get a huge amount of emails about Rob. I'm so sorry. I called Rob Dave beforehand. Now, Polly, what happened? It was Rob who asked me on the air if I had ever had an abortion. Is that right, Rob?
I'm honestly not sure, but I know a couple of minutes ago you referred to Rob as Dave.
Yes.
And both Rob and Dave called me off the air and wanted to clarify the situation.
Okay.
It was Rob.
Thank you.
Dave said, don't drag me into
sorry,
this.
Dave. I apologize for misnaming you. I mean, it's the least of the mistakes I'll make today. That's for sure. So I had emails saying, I cannot believe he asked you that. You should have hung up on him. But he might as well have asked you how much money you made. And I mean, I don't know. Is which one of those is more invasive? Because we get really weird about money too, don't we? But and then I got really supportive ones, and then I got really interesting ones. I think my answer was that I've had an unplanned pregnancy, which I have, which I've shared with you guys, and I've shared with you lots of stuff that we'll talk about in a second. I got other emails that say, you should have answered that question. You're a coward. You must be ashamed of something. So let me set the record straight right here, right now. The only regret I have about in my life, really, is not spending enough time with my mother while she was alive. Honestly, I don't regret my choices. I don't have shame about my choices. I certainly have done work to make sure that I don't carry guilt and shame because I kind of feel like they suck energy from good, useful feelings and emotions. If you're kind of wrapped up in guilt and shame, then you don't have time for positivity and light and focusing on the good things. And we relive the story that we focus on, don't we? I don't have any shame about my sexual history or my wayward youth. I don't have regrets. I've lived and I've learned and I own my stories and my choices. And I feel like I'm absolutely radically responsible for my own reality. That being said, that doesn't mean I owe anybody an explanation. I mean, I don't have to join you on the dance floor just because you asked me to dance. And I don't feel compelled to attend every argument that I'm invited to. I mean, it's pretty simple that I don't owe anybody an answer about what's between my legs or in my uterus or between my doctor and I or my partner and I. I'm not offended. You're free to ask me anything you want. You can ask me anything you want. But I certainly don't feel like I have to answer you. Because here's the thing. I share a lot with you guys. Sometimes people say, goodness, you're such an oversharer. And then I say to them, gosh, you should hear the stuff I don't talk about. But it's my choice. And I'm confident about that. Again, ask me anything. And if I want to, I'll answer you. But it's not a requirement. I've shared a miscarriage story. I've shared stories about my family. I've shared stories about relationships, my failures, my shortcomings, and what I decide to. And whether that's okay with anybody else, it really doesn't concern me. I mean, I don't care whether or not you think you deserve an answer. But that's the thing, though, isn't it? That's the thing that I thought about last night. That's the thing. People like caller Rob, think as though they feel as though anti-choicers feel as though they are absolutely entitled to ask those questions and be given an answer. They're absolutely entitled to it. That it's an innate belief and deeply seated thing, a belief that's prevalent, I find, with anti-choicers, that they have the right and duty to police our bodies, our histories, our sex lives, that they deserve it somehow. So again, it's pretty simple. I mean, I'm not sure how it gets convoluted. If you don't believe in abortion, don't have one. You're 100% free to guide your life with your faith and your morals and your ethics. You are 100% free to guide your life with your faith and your morals. You're also 100% not allowed to force that on others. And I think Barack Obama said something once. You can't deny women their basic rights and pretend it's about your religious freedom. If you don't like birth control, don't use it. Religious freedom, your faith, your ethics don't mean you can force others to live by those beliefs. Had another email about, you know, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of life. This is from somebody else who's really mad at me. Who was it? I've lost their name now. Andrew. Andrew said, it's about the sanctity of life. And I mean, I just don't buy that anymore. And I'm not going to hear it as an argument, because as a human species, we have pretty comprehensively demonstrated we don't believe in the sanctity of life. We accept war. We accept famine. We accept pain. We accept lifelong poverty. Whatever we tell ourselves, that shows us that we have barely made an effort. We've barely made an effort to treat human life as sacred. So if you believe in the sanctity of life, then you better be showing that and exhibiting that in people who are alive and walking around with us right now. You better believe it. It's not about the sanctity of life. It never has been. It's about controlling women and the belief that they're not capable to make these decisions for themselves. Period. It is. Because if it was about the sanctity of life, you would spend as much time putting up anti-choice posters as you did feeding the homeless, adopting foster kids, taking in puppies, dropping off baskets to single moms, making sure they had health care, making sure that they had rides to the doctors. Let's just tell the truth. Let's tell the truth. Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to get to all these emails and the phone calls are coming back in. Is this Rob from yesterday? Rob from yesterday? Is this you, Rob, from yesterday?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Rob.
Thanks for putting words in my mouth. It's a woman's choice. I've never disagreed about that. What you were talking about yesterday was pain that the women were going through.
Right.
That there's no pain 20, 30 years later, and I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Okay, yep, we got that part, Rob. We got that part. It wasn't about, and I said to you,
I'm not going to have the same. You should have hung up on me about asking me if you had an abortion. Well, you asked Andy if you had an abortion.
Exactly, I said that too, but thanks for the recap. But Rob.
But it's okay for you to say that, but when I say it, it's wrong.
Rob, settle down and have a conversation with me here.
Okay.
Settle down and have a conversation. I read an email that someone said, you should have hung up. Those were not my words, Rob. I'm reading listener letters I said it.
Okay. The way you made it sound like.
No, I didn't. No, the way I made it sound was I said, this is a listener letter talking about Rob who called in. If you're going to tell me what I said, Rob, please be accurate. Okay, I got to go because I said I'd read these letters.
I was accurate.
I'm not sure he's accurate. And then I had questions from Carly, who made some really good points. Carly, is this Carly? No, this is Karen, pardon me. She said that the rates were kind of astonishing. We talked about this, 1 in 3 Canadian women having an abortion in their lifetime. This seems terribly high. It's freaking out your listeners. Well, I mean, you can freak them out all you want, but those are the rates. I mean, you can't change the facts to suit your own story. She said she wasn't sure where the stats came from and could I provide her with them, which I did. So that information on the rate of Canadian women who will have an abortion in their life is available. If you want it, just email me. I'll send it to you. Jennifer@570news.com. And also, we we talked about the information citing women's feelings after an abortion years later, and that 95% of women do not regret their abortion. She said, do you have that information? I sent it to her. So I do have that. If you're interested, absolutely 100%, I will send that to you. Final thoughts on this one is for an interesting email I got from a man. And he writes, good morning, Jennifer. Didn't have time to call in, but being a father and grandfather, I was young, got into trouble with a young girl. She got pregnant. I have a son out of that relationship. It's more mental stress on us because I don't socialize with him as much as I would like to. So Andy going off about mental stress, about an abortion, having a child in a home, knowing that he or she exists is also a mental strain, but not having a relationship with them is also an issue. Thank you. We'll leave that anonymous too. I still didn't get to all of the emails and Polly's giving me the wrap-up sign. Anyway, thanks guys. Thanks guys for the phone calls and the engagement and the fun this morning. Pickle's coming in for Farwell. Do we call him Pickle like we call him Farwell? Or do we say Jeff Pickle? Just Pickle? Like just Farwell? Okay, whatever. Pickle's on the way in. He'll take very good care of you. Enjoy this sunny Wednesday morning and I shall see you tomorrow.